الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله تعالى في شأنه: هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر، سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى، يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض، وهو العزيز الحكيم. وقال تعالى في شأن حبيب: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin with the glorifying of Allah Jalla wa Ala and with sending praise and blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with reminding ourselves about the matter that we began the last Jummah that I was here, which is the issue of attitude, because attitude drives behavior and behavior drives results. Inshallah, today we will complete the first part of this khutbah and then we will continue this, as I mentioned earlier, in the coming Jummah. Everything begins with attitude. And if we love something, then we don't need encouragement to do it. And if we find something meaningless, then no amount of money in the world will enable us to be enthusiastic about completing it. We might still do it, but nobody can enthusiastically do something that they basically do not love. And therefore, the question that I ask myself and I ask you to ask yourself is, do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Seriously, I ask myself this question and I ask you to ask yourself this question. Do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the reason I'm saying this is not because I just thought about it. The reason I'm saying this is because this is a condition of iman. It's not just a good deed, it's not just a nice thing to do, it's not just something that it is preferable, it is a condition of iman. And the condition of iman is that we not only love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but that we love him more than we love anyone and anything else. I want you to seriously think about this matter, because the issue of conditions is a very serious matter. A condition is an entry point. If you fulfill a condition, then you become part of that particular group, irrespective of that. I mean, there is a condition of getting a visa to a country. There is a condition of getting admission to a university. There is a condition of any kind of belonging has conditions. And a person can belong only and only if he or she fulfills that condition. And that's the reason why when something is presented and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents it as a condition of iman, then we have to be very careful, because this is a condition. fulfilling of which will enter us into the people who are called the believers. And what did Allah Jalla wa'ala say about the love for His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the famous ayat of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in complete and explicit detail when He said Jalla wa'ala, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated and counted 8 different things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, قل إن كنتم قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ. Allah said, say to them that if they have more beloved to them, if they love their parents more, if they love their children more, if they love their brothers and sisters more, if they love their wives and husbands, their spouses more, if they love their relatives and their members of their family more, and this extends now to the entire Kumba and Khabila, and if they love amwalun iqtaraftumuha, if they love their wealth in which they feel they fear a decrease, wa tijaratan takhshawnaha kasadaha, and if they love their trade, their profession in which they fear a loss, wa masakinu tardawnaha, and if they love their houses and their palaces that they build, and they look at them and they say, mashallah, what a lovely house I built. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if they love these things, ahabba ilaykum, tell them if these are more beloved to you, min Allahi wa rasulihi wa jihadin fi sabili, if these things are more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa jihadin fi sabilillah, and struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them what? Fatarabbasu hatta ya'ti Allahu bi amri. Go and wait for the azab of Allah to descend on your head. And further confirmation, wallahu la yahdil qawmal fasiqeen, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the people who are rebellious. Ask yourself, what was the need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to introduce that term wa jihadin fi sabili? The ayat grammatically would have been complete if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said ahabba ilaykum minallahi wa rasuli. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not satisfied with our claims of loving Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you love me and you love my Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, show it, demonstrate it. Demonstrate it by putting your tongue online. Demonstrate it by putting your wealth online. Demonstrating by putting your life online if necessary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla wa ala, jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu, khaliqu kulli shay, خالق كل أشياء والأحوال, خالق السماوات والأرض وما بينهما, in his shan, in his glory and his majesty. What does he say? Is he requesting us, please obey me? Is he requesting us, please love my messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, get out, get out, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, and wait for my amr to descend on you. فَتَرَبَّصُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Get out and wait for the azab of Allah to come.
وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah need not have said this last piece. فَتَرَبَّصُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ was complete in itself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added some more. To re-emphasize. And he said, wait. And remember, I do not guide those who are rebellious. If you want to stand and say, Allah wants, but I also want. If you want to take that position, فَتَرَبَّصُ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all from this terrible situation. And the second dalil about the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a condition of iman is the famous hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said that your iman is not complete until you love me more than you love anything in the world. The narration of this is as follows. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on his cot and he didn't have a shirt, and the mark of the mat on which he was lying was on his blessed back. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu entered and he made salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu saw the mark of the mat on his body. And he said, he started crying and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? He said, the kings of Rome and Persia, they have people making sajda to them. They sleep on soft beds and they live in great palaces. And you are the messenger of Allah. There is no one higher than you among the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are living in this condition. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is for them. This dunya is not for us. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, the sahaba, loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab, in his love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. He said, I love you more than anything and anyone else. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, O Umar, your iman is not complete until you love me more than anyone and anyone else, including yourself. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, in his first statement, which I forgot the last piece, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than anyone and anything else except myself. See the honesty and the simplicity of the sahaba radhiyallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the need for him to say, except myself? But that was their heart. The heart was pure, pure, pure. There was not an iota of deception in them. The tongue of Umar could not lie. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anyone and anything else except myself. To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, O Umar, your iman is not complete until you love me more than anything and anyone else, including yourself. Now, what would you or I have done in that situation? I don't talk about yourself, I'm talking about myself. You know, wallahi, if I was in that situation, I would have said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. I would have tried to find a loophole of escaping from, Ya Rasulullah, yeah, of course, that's what I meant. Not Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Not him, not an iota of deception. He kept silent. He kept silent. He did not say anything. He examined his own heart. And then he came back and he said, Ya Rasulullah, now I love you more than anyone and everything else, including myself. Umar radiallahu anhu made a change in his heart before he came back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that language. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-an ya Umar. He said, now, O Umar. And the muhaddithin have translated that to mean one of two things. Either to mean that only now your iman is complete. Or to mean you took so long, only now this has happened. Allah knows best the intention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is very clear for us is the fact that the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a condition of iman. The reason I began with this, and it fits in very nicely with the khutbah that I am in the process of delivering to you, is because today is the 12th of Rabiul Awal, which is within quote celebrated as Eid Miladun Nabi. And I think it is very important for me to say certain things about this. The first and foremost thing to say about this is that an Eid, the word Eid, like the word Salah, has a linguistic meaning and it has a technical meaning. The linguistic meaning of Eid is happiness, some kind of celebration. Right? You invite me to your house and you give me some nice food which I like to eat, and I say, "Arey yaar, aaj to meri Eid ho gayi." Linguistic meaning. I'm very happy. You know, you invited me to your house. Alhamdulillah. But the technical meaning of Eid is an ibadah. And Eid is an ibadah. And how many Eid are there in Islam? Eidain. Two. Eid al-Fitr at the end of Ramadan and Eid al-Adha on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. There are two Eids. Khalas. So first and foremost, to call anything else an Eid is to innovate, is to include, is to increase in the deen of Allah, because you are increasing in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, the date itself. There are at least five different narrations about the day on which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, including a date in Ramadan. There are four separate dates, 8th, 10th, 11th and various things in Rabiul Awal, and somebody also narrated that he was born in Ramadan. Allah knows best. It's very easy to understand why there was this confusion. Because the day that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born is significant for us today, because he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which we know now. The day he was born, he was not known as the messenger of Allah. A child was born. A child was born in the house of Abdul Muttalib. That's it. There were 1,000 other children who were also born in Makkah on the same day. Allah knows best how many. And there was no need for anyone to note down a particular date, because that was not the custom and practice of the Arabs. They did not even have a calendar with days. They had a calendar only with months. The Islamic calendar and the old Arab calendar are two different things. The old Arab calendar had the months, but the months did not follow the lunar cycle, so there were no days as such. For example, in our current calendar, the lunar cycle, 13th, 14th and 15th are the days of the full moon. Whereas in the Arab calendar, sometimes the full moon came on the 11th, sometimes it came on the 10th, sometimes it came on the 16th or the 18th, because the calendar did not follow the moon. It was a calendar which was contrived, which was constructed. It was highly accurate, but it was constructed. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed that. And one of the things that he said in the Khutbatul Wada was change the calendar and make it in keeping with the natural phenomena of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the lunar calendar. One was he didn't actually change the calendar. He did not specify the day from which the calendar should begin. That was done subsequently in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And then they did not choose a day of birth because they did not have a day of birth. And because days of birth and days of death are not significant in Islam in themselves. So they picked a day when the hijrah happened, when the movement happened from Darul Kufr and Darul Shirk to Darul Islam or Darul Salam. So the day of birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unknown. What is known, and listen very carefully, what is known with certainty is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he died on the 12th of Rabiul Awal. So people who are celebrating, I don't know what they are celebrating. They should ask themselves, what are you celebrating? Because the only thing that is sure on this particular day is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. And to me, that is not a matter of celebration. That is the greatest tragedy that could have befallen the humankind ever. And this is again a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In his one of the hadiths, he said, if any tragedy befalls you, if anything tragic happens to you, if you are bereaved, if somebody dies and so on, he said, remember my death. Because that is the greatest tragedy. There can be no tragedy that is bigger than the passing away of Muhammad or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because the doors of Wahi closed forever. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma went to see, went to meet and call on and greet Umm Ayman, who was the nurse of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he passed away, in the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr or Umar, I don't know which one it was, but both of them went and they went to greet her, and Umm Ayman started crying. So they said, don't cry, why are you crying? Don't cry, this is not, we came to see you and so on, don't cry. You're crying because we remember Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, I'm not crying because Muhammad died, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She said, I know he was human, he had to die. I am crying because the wahi of Allah stopped. I am crying because that door closed forever. Jibreel will not come again into this world with wahi. So we know when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died. So when you celebrate on this day, ask yourself, what are you celebrating? Because the only thing known with certainty is that today he died. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The counter of jahalat, the counter of ignorance is knowledge. And I have sent out a whole, today, this morning I sent out an entire note on this 3-page note. I've extracted things from various sources and I've sent it out on the group. Please read it. I don't want to go into all the details. But let it suffice to say, from going by the ayats and going by the hadiths of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which I narrated before you, of love for Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a condition of iman, what we extract from that is that the way of expressing the love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to follow his sunnah, not to go against his sunnah. It's a completely oxymoronic argument if somebody says that I love you but I will disobey you. That's nonsense. You say to your father, you say to your boss, you say to your wife or whoever, I love you but I am going to disobey you. How is this possible? How is this possible? And why are these celebrations, why are they disobedience of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Because of the hadith which you hear in every Jummah, which you will also hear today, inshallah. And what is that hadith? Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. Wa ahsanul hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha. Wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a. Wa kullu bid'atin dalala. Wa kullu dalalatin finnar. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best speech is the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that the evil of the deeds, the evil is are the deeds which are innovated and introduced into the deen. The evil, sharul umuri muhdathatuha. The evil of the rulings, the evil of the things, the evil of the deeds is the muhdathat, the innovations. And then he said, "Kulla muhdathatin bid'ah." He did not segregate and say this one and that one and this is okay and that is not. No. Kulla muhdathatin bid'ah. All innovations are bid'at. Wa kulla bid'atin dalala. And all bid'at are misguidance and dalalat. Wa kulla dalalatin finnar. And all that misguidance will be in the hellfire. There's no separation. There's no qualification. It's not, I have neither the time nor the opportunity to go into details about what is bid'ah and so on, but there is a very detailed lecture of mine on YouTube, go watch it, which talks about this issue of sunnah and bid'ah in great detail with all the dalail. Go learn something. I mean, it's important to get the right knowledge. And therefore, these celebrations in the name of Miladun Nabi, or bidah. How did they start? Did they start in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did he say, celebrate my birthday? No. Did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu say, let us celebrate the birthday of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because we love him? No. Did any of the Khulafa Rashidin do that? No. Did it happen in the first 100 years? No. Did it happen in the second 100 years? No. Did it happen in the third 100 years? No. In the fourth century after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the Khulafa of the Shia Fatimid dynasty of Egypt started the celebration of the birthdays of four people. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Fatima to Zahra radiallahu anha, Hassan and Hussein, and the Khalifa himself. So five. These birthdays were celebrated. And with great pomp and splendor, and there are lists of how many thousand sheep and camel were slaughtered, and what happened and what didn't happen, and how many sweets were prepared, and all of this is available. That's what I'm saying. Read. I don't get wahi. I read. That's why I know more than you. So read. All of this is detailed. All of this is given. It's all written down. It's not news. This man started 4 centuries after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He started this issue of celebration. And May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from starting wrong things. Please understand, a good intention does not convert a prohibited thing into a permissible thing. Just because I have a good intention, it does not change haram into halal. Every single bid'ah, every single shirk comes from good intentions. The road to Jahannam is paved with good intentions. Why did the Christians make Isa alayhi salam son of God? Good intention or bad intention? Good intention. They loved their prophet alayhi salam so much that they said, no, he cannot be human. He is the son of God. And of course, now they even worship. They say he is God himself. Good intentions. Why do people go and make sujood on some khabar? Good intentions. I love this sheikh or this Sufi or this saint or whoever it was who passed away. He was such a good man and so on and so on. I want to show my respect. What do? I go and make sajda to him. Good intention. Nothing is wrong with intention. Intention is very good, alhamdulillah, but it is shirk. You die on that. You die on that aqeedah and you are in the hellfire with your good intention. Good intentions are not a substitute for knowledge. And good intentions do not convert haram into halal. If you and I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why I began by asking, do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because that's a condition of iman. My brothers and sisters, if we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what must we do? Follow his sunnah. Obey him. Obey him and follow his sunnah. Not disobey him, not invent things in his name, not invent things to glorify him, so-called, in ways which he himself prohibited. What of those who obeyed him? What of those who obeyed him? Thauban radiallahu anhu was a freed slave. He was freed by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a man who would just come and stand there and look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nothing. He wouldn't ask him. He wouldn't say, please give me some nasiha. He wouldn't say, Ya Rasulullah, make dua. Nothing. He would just come and look at him. He would stand there and look at Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would go away. And one day he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was crying. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Thawan, what happened to you? Why are you crying? He said, Ya Rasulullah. He said, I was thinking. He said, I love you. He said, I love you more than anything else. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, whenever I am troubled, when my heart is heavy, when there is any difficulty, I only come and I look at you and my trouble goes away. My heart is at peace. I just look at you and this is enough for me. But he said, I was thinking yesterday that a time will come when I die. And then, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will never see you again. I will never see you again. Because you are the messenger of Allah. You are the Imamul Anbiya. You are the Sayyidul Mursaleen. Allah will give you the highest of highest positions in Jannah. He said, where will I reach there? He said, I cannot reach there. And I will never see you again. He said, what is Jannah without Muhammad? What is Jannah without Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was crying. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could respond, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could respond to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel salam came and he said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to your friend here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 69. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He said, say to your friend here, the one who obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed among the messengers sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person will be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed min al-nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhadai wa salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. That is the full ayah. Sauban radiallahu anhu used to go around, and whenever this ayat was recited, he used to say, see, Allah said this about me. He said, Allah said this about me. Eh? Ajib. Those who obeyed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last khutbah, we talked about the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, first one and two, and today the last, the third of the ayat. I will quickly complete with that because that fits in with what I have said just now. And we began just to reaffirm and just to remind ourselves. We began with the ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat, the first ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday illahi wa rasulihi wattaqu allah inna allaha sami'un alim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. إن الذين يغضون أصواتهم عند رسول الله أولئك الذين امتحن الله قلوبهم للتقوى لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say, Allah wants this and I also want. Don't say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, but I also have an opinion. Do not put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fear Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. He knows what you are hearing and He knows what you are thinking. O you who believe, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not disagree with his rulings. Do not argue about his rulings. Do not argue about what he said. Do not take his sunnah and say, well, you know, that applied to those days. These days are different. We are modern people. Don't say that wearing your clothes in this way applied to that those days. Don't say that having an appearance of this kind applied to those days, and so on and so on and so on. I don't want to go into all the details. You know best what you say. say? The point I'm saying is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means do not disagree with Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any way. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not speak aloud to him like you speak to one another. He is the messenger of Allah. Yes, he is human by in terms of his jinsiyat, but do not think that he is human like you are human. He is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the afzalul bashar. He is the sayyidul mursaleen. He is the imamul nabiyyin. He is the person who will insha'Allah be given al-maqamul mahmood. He is the sahib al-maqamul mahmood. He is the sahib al-kawthar. He is the first one to enter jannatul firdausul ala. He is human, yes. We do not worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we also do not consider ourselves to be equal to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't say he is a kul. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qul ana basharu mithlukum," say you are a bashar, you are a human being like you. That refers to the jinsiyat alone. It refers to him as being from the species of Homo sapiens. He was not a jinn. He was not a malak. He was not an angel. But if any Homo sapien thinks that Muhammad is like me, Na'udhu billah. We are not equal. We are not even equal. I am not even equal to the dust on the hoof of the donkey which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote. His position is different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that. He said, don't talk to my Nabi like you talk to each other. Don't say, Ya Muhammad. No, Ya Muhammad. Say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes before you, recite the durood because that is his haqq. Don't speak to him, don't call out to him loudly like you call out to each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting the rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what to do. And then, again, and this is the glory and majesty of my Rabb. This is the bayan of the Quran. This is the kibriyai of the one to whom, the only one to whom kibr is justified. What does he say? If you do that, he said, I will wipe out your deeds and you will not even know. He said, I will wipe out your deeds and you will not even know. You speak disrespectfully about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because you read some hadith somewhere and because you think you are an alim. But when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that you have a clean slate. There's nothing on it. Wipe clean, lest your deeds be wiped out. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ and you will not even know this. You will not even know this. And I told you the Asbab al-Nuzul of this ayat of how Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu then started speaking so softly that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to ask him again and again, what did you say? He couldn't hear him. Abu Bakr Siddiq made an oath and he said, I will speak only in a whisper. And Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu anhu, he just went home and he started crying and weeping, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't see him for 2-3 days. He asked him, where is Thabit? And Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu was hard of hearing, so he used to speak loudly because of that. But he was also one of the most beautiful reciters of the Quran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed him and he said, where is he? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he is in his house crying. Why is he crying? Because of this ayah. He said, this ayah came for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is punishment of Allah on me because I speak loudly. And I am from the people of Jahannam. He said, I am finished, I am destroyed. Because Allah said, he will wipe out my deeds. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go tell him that he is from the people of Jannah. He said, go tell him, he is from the people of Jannah. And Thabit bin Qais then, whenever people saw him, they said, see, he is the man of Jannah. People used to point out, the Sahaba used to point out to Thabit bin Qais and say, he is a man of Jannah. And then, the third part of the ayah, where we talked about what happens if you go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you argue about the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned all of that last khutbah, so I am not going to repeat that here. But just reinforcement. Please understand this. I have said this many times before. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give detailed instructions for everything, he would have given it. Allah was not constrained by number of words or number of ayat in the Quran. Allah was not writing the kalam of, was not writing his book to submit to an editor, and the editor was not saying, no, sorry, you cannot have so many ayat. Allah could have, instead of 6,000 something ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have 600,000 ayat. But Allah did not do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately, and notice very clearly, my brothers and sisters, deliberately, especially in the matters of the arkan of Islam, the pillars of Islam, the five pillars on which this deen stands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately stated what must be done, but remained silent about how it must be done. And he gave that instruction to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of wahi, also wahi, but which we know as wahi ghair matlu. With respect to the kalima tayyiba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that the kalima of Islam, how do you enter Islam? By saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And even that is not together in one place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a man comes and he wants to enter Islam, what must you do? Make him do this. Make him repeat, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and help him to understand and remind him that this kalima has to be in your heart. And they asked him, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who says this kalima with ikhlas will be in Jannah. They said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. Allah kept this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention this directly. This comes to us from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second pillar of Islam, what is that? Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply said, aqimus salah. The example I gave you last khutbah when I was here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say about Jummah itself? وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. Allah said, when you hear the adhan of Jummah, run towards the dhikr of Allah and give up your trade. Alhamdulillah, you heard the adhan, you close your shop and you come running to the masjid. Now what? Now what? Should you take a tasbih and sit in dhikr? Should you read the Quran? Should you maybe make 200 nawafil because today is Jummah? What should you do? Where do you find this in the Quran? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically giving an instruction with respect to a particular day, naming the day. وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِسَلَاةِ مِ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ. Allah gives this specificity of instruction and leaves it completely blank with regard to what is to be done. Why? Because he told his Nabi what is to be done. And that is why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say about salah? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni yusalli. Applies to all the salawat. Applies by inference to everything in our lives. Do like you see me do. Pray like you see me pray. Speak like you see me speak. Treat your wife and husband like you see me treat my wife. Treat your family like you see me treating my family. Deal with people like you see me dealing with people. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a very beautiful thing. He said, my ummah can do anything, can commit any sin except two. Listen, people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah can commit any sin. I can believe that they committed any sin. Maybe zina, maybe murder, whatever. Except two. They said, ya Rasulullah, what are the two sins that your ummati can never commit? He said, my ummati can never lie and my ummati can never cheat. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my ummati can never lie and my ummati can never cheat. And I was reflecting on this hadith and I said to myself, ya Allah, why did he say these two things? Why these two? Why these two specific things? Why didn't he say my ummati will never miss a salah? Why did he say my ummati will never not go for hajj? No, he said my ummati can never do two things, and that is he cannot lie and he cannot cheat. Why did he say that? And you know what came into my mind? What was the laqab, what was the title of Muhammad Rasulullah even before he be declared prophethood? What was he called? As-sadiqul amin. As-sadiqul amin. The truthful one and the trustworthy one. The one who does not lie and the one who does not cheat. And he gave this to us. He gave his title to every Muslim. He gave his own title to every Muslim. And see the beauty of this. If you are somebody who cannot lie, obviously you are somebody who cannot commit any other sin. Not lying and not cheating saves you from everything else. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us that. His own laqab, he gave us his own title. And wallahi, may Allah forgive me for saying this. Today we are known by lying and cheating. Today, generally speaking, there are people who are exceptions. But remember, a nation is not known by exceptions. A nation is known by the majority. Today we are known as people who lie and cheat. We are more concerned about where to fold our hands, about where we should raise our hands in salah. We are more concerned about whether we should pray with a head covering or no head covering. We are more concerned about these things, but we are not concerned about lying and cheating. We are not concerned about racism. We are not concerned about oppression of people. We are not concerned about committing haram. We are concerned about the furuat of deen. I am not saying it is not important. Those are also important. But between a matter of life and death and between the color on your car, which is more important? It's like that. It's like that. It's just like that. Matter of life and death and you are concerned. No, what color is my car? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You're insane. You would call that person insane. My brothers and sisters, to disobey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to evict ourselves from Islam. Is to remove ourselves from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very, very clearly. And finally, the third part of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَزِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who accept the rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only because it is a ruling, whether I like it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, whether I am popular or unpopular because of that, makes no difference to me. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do this, I do this. Khalas. Those who take that position, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that verily they are the people whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. Ask yourself, do you want this certificate from Allah or not? Do you want a certificate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which you can hold up to him on the day of judgment and say, Ya Allah, you said you tested my heart for piety. Ya Allah, I did not keep a beard all my life. But because when I heard of the importance of the beard, when I heard that this is a hukum, this is an order of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I started keeping my beard. So Allah, we have people, we have examples in this masjid. I hope they will pray for me when I die. And I've told them that dua is a dua which Allah will not reject. Because you kept your beard when you are in your 70s. When all those around you have not kept beards. But you started keeping a beard in your 70s. Only to please Allah. There's no other reason. Only to please Allah. And I said to them, I said, when I die, make dua for me. Because Allah will not reject that dua, inshallah. I'm an old broken record. What to do? I broke at that place. Follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there is noor in that sunnah. There is blessing in that sunnah. There is power in that sunnah. How will you understand unless you follow it? So Allah said, Jalla wa'ala, that the ones who follow the sunnah of my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ones who obey my Nabi, the ones who do not raise their voice, who do not argue, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested them and tested their hearts for piety, and for them is forgiveness and a great reward. And this ayat came when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu made this comment. He said, I will never raise my voice. I will speak in a whisper to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah. This is one of the ayat revealed for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. It's an ayah which shows us the importance of the Khalifa of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us subservient to him and to his orders, and to make us among those about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم.
See the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajib. Unfortunately, we read the Quran, we don't understand what you are reading. This is the problem. But see the rahmat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Tawbah, As-sabiqoon al-abwaleen, the first to enter Islam, among the muhajiruna wal-ansar, among the muhajirun and the ansar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added a piece. What is that piece? وَاتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Now those of you who understand Arabic, you know that if this ayat were to be recited without this, وَاتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, the ayat would be complete. Because Allah is saying, the first to enter Islam among the muhajirun wal ansar, Allah is pleased with them, radiallahu anhu wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And He prepared for them gardens, Jannatul Firdaus, He prepared for them gardens, Jannatin tajri min tahti al anhar, in which there are rivers, khalidina fiha abada, in which they will stay forever, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And this is the supreme success. The ayat is complete. The Sabiqun al-Awwalun, the people who entered Islam first among the Muhajirun and Ansar, for them Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah, and for them there are gardens of paradise. Alhamdulillah, ayat is complete. But you know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is Allah? Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim fi dunya wal akhirah. Who is Allah? The one who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did he do? He added a piece in his kalam, in this ayah, to emphasize the importance of his Nabi. And what did he say? وَاتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Allah said, not only are the سَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ, not only are those people who entered Islam first among the Muhajirun and the Ansar in the Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab, not only are those people there, not only is Allah pleased with them, but Allah is also pleased with anyone who follows them bil ihsan ila yawmiddin, till the day of judgment, who follows them in excellence, who follows them exactly until the day of judgment. Allah will give that person also the same reward as He will give to Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu ajma'in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the gates of Jannah for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be included with the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as per His promise. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His word, in the name of His promise, that He promised to include those who follow the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain with the Sahaba alayhi Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with the Anbiya alayhi musallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to follow this deen and to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to follow the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain in excellence until the day we die. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our lives on tawheed and on the risalat and free from all shirk and kufr and bid'at, and to take our lives in a state of tawheed, in a state of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we convince ourselves that the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is superior to every other way. It is not sufficient simply to stand and talk about the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when your life does not reflect that. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this nifaq from ourselves and to make us among those who will become the inheritors of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His forgiveness for all of those who are gathered here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all the difficulties from your lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody who is ill, to cure them. Anyone who is in any form of difficulty, to relieve that difficulty. Anyone who is in any form of hardship, to remove that hardship, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy and blessings and His nur on Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.